In this edition of Global Print, I would like to talk to you about the violence on U.S. Capitol Hill last week and what Prime Minister Narendra Modi said about it, as well as on the COVID vaccine diplomacy that India has embarked upon. But before that, dear viewer, I'd like to make an appeal to you. You know that the print has been bringing you the best videos, the best news over the last several months across the COVID pandemic, across the lockdown, and we would like you to continue to support us. So please do subscribe and pay a little for our free, fair, objective, non-partisan and unhyphenated journalism. If you support us, we will be able to continue to bring the best journalism that we have for you. Back to my column, Global Print, in which I have two elements this week. The first is about the violence on U.S. Capitol Hill last week. Now, you have heard a lot about it. You have read a lot about it. But I'd like to point you in the direction of Prime Minister Narendra Modi's tweet, in which he said that he was very distressed at what happened and implied that the transition of power, Donald Trump, who's lost the U.S. presidential election way back in November, of course, the handing over ceremony is going to be on the 20th of January, a few days from now. But what PM Modi implied was that the transition of power must always be peaceful. And this brought me back, this reminded me of 2005 when then Gujarat Chief Minister Narendra Modi wanted to go to the US. And the US denied him a visa because of his because of the Gujarat riots that had taken place 3 years ago in 2002, in which, according to official sources, more than 1,000 people were killed. Then Chief Minister Narendra Modi was also implicated in those riots. Of course, the Supreme Court gave him a clean chit, but the U.S. denied him a visa because they felt that he was not clean, that his hands were not clean, and they implied that he had been not done anything about stopping those riots. Now, several years later, on the eve of the 2014 election, when it was clear that the BJP was coming to power and Narendra Modi as the leader of the BJP would be prime minister, that's when the US climbed down and said that the PM or the leader of the BJP, Narendra Modi, would be welcome in the US anytime. And subsequently, after he became PM 1 year later in 2015, he was invited by Barack Obama, then president, and Mr. Obama gave him a very, very warm welcome, a red carpet welcome. Subsequently, again in 2018, Donald Trump invited him, you know, the big Houston rally in which PM Modi said, "Ab ki baar Trump Sarkar," which a lot of people took to mean that India, and especially Prime Minister Modi, was anticipating that Trump would come back as president and that the Indian community in the U.S., the Indian American community, should vote for him. Now, of course, a lot of water under that bridge. Trump has lost the election and PM Modi must be feeling that revenge is indeed very sweet this week, because he is now the leader of the largest democracy in the world, able to tell the leader of the oldest democracy in the world, America, that there must be a peaceful transition of power. And the second point that I wanted to make here is that subsequently, since Trump has been removed permanently from Twitter, and a lot of other social media platforms are also seem to be very unhappy with his support to the rioters, his sort of open support to the rioters, if you notice that Prime Minister Narendra Modi, you may not have noticed, but before Twitter removed Trump, Trump had largest politician who was followed worldwide. And after his removal, Prime Minister Narendra Modi becomes the largest politician in the world with the largest following. So those two small elements. But let me then bring you back home here in Delhi and talk to you a little bit about how India's embarked upon this COVID-19 vaccine diplomacy. Now, you know that the vaccine is going to be rolled out on the 16th of January. Preparations are underway in every part of the country. Health workers, frontline workers will be inoculated. They're right on top of the list, the priority list. But one other thing is also taking place simultaneously and very quietly, which is that India is buying about 10 million doses, both from the Serum Institute and perhaps later from Bharat Biotech, when their phase 3 results come in and those are vindicated and peer reviewed. India will buy about 10 million doses and gift them free to all the countries in South Asia except Pakistan. You may want to ask me, why not Pakistan? For the last several years, as you know, and especially after the Balakot attack, when Indian Air Force hit Balakot because of the and hit the Jaish-e-Mohammed training camp there, and then there was this dogfight in the air. We know that this happened in February 2019, which is now almost 2 years ago. Since then, India has had absolutely no official relationship, no dialogue with the Pakistanis. So Pakistan is, as far as the Modi government is concerned, is in the doghouse. But for every other country, whether it's Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Bhutan, Nepal, Sri Lanka, the Maldives, India has decided that it's going to gift a few million vaccine doses to each of those countries. And besides the immediate neighborhood, some other countries like Mauritius, Seychelles, and Myanmar are also going to be gifted a few million doses. So in total, about 10 million, it may be a little bit more or less. And separately, several countries are already signing pacts and agreements with the Serum Institute, perhaps later with Bharat Biotech. The African Union, for example, is signing an agreement with the Serum Institute for an undisclosed number of doses. The Bangladeshis have also directly signed a pact with this, with the Serum Institute, which, of course, is the largest vaccine manufacturer in the world. Now, what is interesting is that Pakistan has placed a 1 million order for the Chinese vaccine with China. Now, the Chinese have five vaccine candidates. Two of them, Sinovac and Sinopharm, are perhaps the ones that are best known. But the Pakistanis have asked for 1 million doses from the Chinese, and they seem to be also paying a little bit. So now that is, you know, it's quite interesting because China is, and Pakistan is China's closest ally, not just an ally, but a client state. And, you know, you will be asking your patron for a vaccine, which is not going to be given free to you. So that is, again, quite interesting on its own. But China as well is also using the COVID vaccine that it has developed. I talked about five vaccine candidates, and using it as an instrument of influence worldwide. Now, we saw how the Dubai ruler, the Sheikh of Dubai, that he got himself inoculated. So Dubai has a Chinese vaccine, and so does Abu Dhabi. So two of those emirates have the Chinese vaccine. The Southeast Asians are opting for the American Pfizer or the Moderna. But Cambodia, which is said to be a very close ally of the Chinese, has actually said to the Chinese that they do not want a Chinese vaccine and that they will wait for the WHO-funded vaccine called Covavax, which is being produced by this sort of multiple nations. It's come together to create or to manufacture a vaccine for poorer and middle-income countries. So Cambodia is not taking the Chinese vaccine. India, meanwhile, is going to, like I said, going to gift some vaccines to Myanmar, which is also a very, very close to the Chinese. So India trying very hard to recover its neighborhood through this vaccine diplomacy. There has been a lot of bitterness over the last year, over 2020, over the last couple of years, actually. 2020 was, of course, given almost entirely over to COVID. But in 2019, if some of you may remember, that the Home Minister Amit Shah, in a speech right here in the Ramlila Maidan in Delhi, was when he was making a speech about the Citizenship Amendment Act. And he said that, you know, that the Bangladeshis are termites, and used the Hindi word dimak. And he said they should be thrown into the Bay of Bengal. Now, that, as you can imagine, got the Bangladeshis very upset. There has been a lot of bitterness in the bilateral relationship these past couple of years. But I think the Prime Minister has realized that he doesn't want to antagonize a very, very key and important neighbor of India's in India's east. Also, this is the 50th anniversary of the Bangladeshi War of Independence, when it broke away from Pakistan in 1971 and created its own country, Bangladesh. So India has been very much part of that celebration of Bangladesh, of becoming an independent country 50 years ago. There is something very grand and very momentous about the idea of a people wanting to be free and wanting to rule themselves, of becoming a democracy. So there was no way that India was going to have a bitter relationship with the Bangladeshis on the one hand, and then join it in the celebration of the 50th anniversary of its War of Independence, as well as the 100th birth anniversary of Bangabandhu Sheikh Mujibur Rahman. Again, a very, very close friend of India's, whose daughter, Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina, is the Prime Minister of Bangladesh. So Prime Minister Modi, realizing that he must cut his losses, that Amit Shah, his very, very close aide and confidant, that part has to be shut down, that you cannot use bitter words about Bangladesh. And similarly, not as much, of course, but the relationship with Nepal, which went through quite a roller coaster over the last year, when the Nepalese unilaterally incorporated Indian territories and put them as part of a new Nepal map. Now, that led to a lot of angry comments from the Indian side, including by the Indian Army Chief General Naravane. But Pradeep Gyawali, the Nepal foreign minister, is coming to Delhi later this week for the India-Nepal Joint Commission. And while there is no question that India is going to agree to this, because those territories belong to India and Nepal just can't unilaterally do what it likes, but there is an effort at least a dialogue with its neighbor. Because India understands and realizes that China is expanding its influence in Nepal. The Chinese Communist Party has been training the Nepali Communist Party. Apart from the Chinese ambassador, who is expanding her influence, bringing the Nepali communists together, there has also been visits from Beijing to Nepal, trying to tell them that they must portray a united stand in front of their own parliament and in front of their own people. So to win back Nepal, India would like to at least have some good news on the table. There can be a lot of disagreements. Those will carry on. But the good news, at least in 2021, is that India is making an effort to win back, to woo back its neighborhood. And the COVID-19 vaccine being developed by the Serum Institute, as well as Bharat Biotech, a few weeks down the line, is going to be one key instrument in winning back this neighborhood. So do read my column in the print website, Global Print, and tell me what you think. Thank you so much for watching.